CliffCentral.com.
You made it to Friday. Congratulations. Very, very nice.
Ooh, what do we get?
You get a free pack of condoms, which you can't use because no one is having sex at the moment.
My mom last night said, oh, I worked in a manufacturing plant.
Yeah.
And it was called AJ something. I don't know. It was some like well-known grocery store type thing.
Yeah.
And she said, I went into the factory and I was like, what are those? And they were air holes.
Oh, what? Sorry, huh?
She said, and they were FLs. And waited for everyone to laugh.
French
and
letters.
And I went, what are you? Yes.
What are French letters?
That's the next step. That's what they called condoms in those days.
Yes, a condom is a French letter, yeah.
Which is an FL.
Yes, very exciting.
It's just like putting it politely.
That's what they called them in those days.
French letter?
Yeah, it was a euphemism, really, because they didn't like saying condom. So
it's not a sexy word if you think about it.
No, it really isn't. Well, I mean,
French lesser for my French kiss.
Yes, there are a lot of those terms that they used to use. Those people of those generations. Those people.
Those people.
You know, like our parents' generation. I mean, I bet you your mother, Sia, has never ever said the word condom
or penis.
Penis, which she'd hate to say penis. Oh, she'd be horrified.
I'm trying to think of it. Have I? No, I've never heard her use it before.
I'll bet you haven't. She would never. She'd certainly never use it around you. She might say to your dad.
Yeah, and I'm glad I have. Ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, you see?
Wow.
This was summer going well for a good 8 seconds and then got really weird.
Bring it home, huh?
No, let's not bring it home.
I always used to torture my brother.
Oh, yeah?
By saying, oh, really? Yeah, well, why don't you just imagine mom on top of dad talking dirty?
God, right, it's so gross.
I had a friend who cried when she walked in on her mother having sex.
Oh, shame.
That sounds like the appropriate response, actually.
Yeah.
She was in high school. She was in high school, like a couple of years from matriculating.
Uh-huh.
She walked in, saw her mother having sex, and there was just no other response except to just break into tears.
Shame.
And as if that wasn't bad enough, oh, shame, man, this is actually bad for her. She panicked so much, she called her siblings.
Oh.
And the one sibling actually lived out of the house, but she's like, I just saw mom in bed.
No, think about it to her mom, because her mom takes on, she has to deal with her own emotions from the whole thing, but she takes on the child's emotions as well.
And the mother has to go out and now console her crying daughter.
It's horrible.
I can't imagine anything weirder.
That's so bad. So bad. Jesus.
Lock the door. Note to self.
Yeah. That's the responsibility of it. You know, a parent should lock the door. Sorry.
No, parents should not be having sex when there are children in the house.
What?
No, it's not on.
How else do you think they must... Never. Well, look at me fighting for people's.
I can't handle the thought. I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm glad I've never walked in on my parents.
Oh my God.
But we've heard it twice before.
Oh, you've heard it.
No.
You've heard it.
Yes!
Oh my God.
I cannot even entertain it. No.
I remember the one time after I heard it, and I could not look at them the same way. My mother was so happy walking out for breakfast the next morning. I'm like, well, you. see why you need to replenish.
Oh, Jesus, Sia. You make it worse for yourself. You know that. Ugh.
I feel you completely. I would have been exactly the same.
But you are not kissing me goodbye with that mouth.
Oh, come on. What is up?
Jesus. Okay, sorry. I'm quiet. I'm quiet. I'm
All right, we got a few things. Jesus, let's move on as quickly as possible from that.
Sure, it was tough. We needed to do it. We needed to address it.
Yeah, well, you know, there's nothing. I thought about it the other day because someone is interviewing me about something, and they said, "Is there anything on your show in the mornings that you would not do?" And I thought hard about it, and that we've covered all the taboo stuff. I mean, we've done, like, you know, pedophile jokes, which most, I don't think there's a lot of shows in the world that would do that stuff with Gord and Ben. You know, we've talked about people who've been, you know, in relationships with siblings. We've done it all.
You've got high while you've done the show.
High while we're doing the show. I don't know that there's a show in South Africa that's gone as far or as deep as we have in any of this. And
no.
Some of it I'm not proud of. Some of it's been really unnecessary. And then part of it I'm like, yeah, well, that's what you got to do sometimes. We can't call ourselves special, or we can't say that we're doing a good job if we don't go there, frankly.
If it's a conversation that you're having with your friends at some point, then it should be on.
Right, yeah. It should be on the show, yeah. Oi.
Except what any cysts and your bowel movements.
Oh, that's a Damon thing. Leanne, you're so...
Damon Calvary.
I know that you especially asked to not be on the days that Damon is on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a very wise choice on your part.
I'll try it again every now and then. No. You know, I grew up drinking milk. I saw and then one day I went to a farm and I saw a cow being milked. Yeah. And I was like, I'm never drinking milk again.
Okay.
But I kept trying every now and then.
Okay.
I'll keep trying.
Yeah, he's so different to you. The two of you are just, it's not going to work. Anyway.
Let's not force it.
Angifun.
Angifun, exactly. All right, let's just get straight into this. We are staying connected during the lockdown. And with iConnect, you can too, for just 199 Rand per user per month with no contract, no setup fee. With this deal, you get a remote voice extension, a softphone or desktop app, and a free iConnect inbound router. You'll also be able to port an existing number for free, and you'll get free extension-to-extension calls. Contact iConnect SA on 010-271-3995 or email them at remote@iconnectsa.co.za, or you can check out their website, iconnectsa.co.za. Okay.
So, you know, Americans say route instead of root, and they actually do say router instead of router.
Yeah, they do. Oh. Yeah, whole router thing. By the way, the router is the reason that I do these calls, you know, Zoom. Who doesn't at the moment? Zoom and Google Hangouts and Microsoft Teams and... What are all of the, have I left any out? There's Cisco WebEx, there's
Zoom.
Got Zoom, yeah. There's WhatsApp, obviously.
We do WhatsApp videos.
We'll do that. All of them are dependent, really, largely on how much, you know, your Wi-Fi works. It's not just how good your internet is. If you have a bad router, that could be the reason that you don't get connected properly with your call that you're doing with somebody, and it can be very frustrating because you have to sit in a certain place in the house because your router's ability to generate Wi-Fi signals so poor, and they update these things all the time. So you think you've got a good router, but it's like 5 years old.
Yeah, no way.
It's like ancient.
Yeah, it's like my alarm system. I have to upgrade it, and I had the analyst come in the other day, and I thought he was actually going to burst out laughing.
Why? Because he thought that your machine was so backward?
So everything's so old.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It works. I mean, it works, but he's like, no, come now. I'm sending you a quote. We've got to get these updated.
Oh.
But you genuinely have to, that stuff you have to work on.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to update constantly. I
mean, when it starts turning yellow and it was white, then you know it's time.
When the plastic is starting to go yellow, that's it. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
That's a good point, though.
I always ask this hoping you guys are going to suddenly say to me, oh yeah, I've got amazing plans for the weekend, but is anyone doing anything fun?
I'm going to see my, because you know I'm a Kazanti.
Yes, mm-hmm. Of course.
I'm going to see my nephew, and I call it, I call the time, his name is Jack, but I call the time, I'm going for a jackpot.
Oh, nice.
It's like therapy. And it really is, hey. Jeez, yeah. To have that little bundle sleeping on your chest and just having an old condition and a cup of tea, getting out the house a little bit. Yeah. Oh, it's like therapy, man.
Well, I went to the shops yesterday, and three people came up to me, Sia, who said they'd watched our show. Three people I've never met before.
Oh, wow.
So that's great stuff. Yeah, it made me feel pretty good because you don't know. And even TV ratings, you can't be sure what's going on there. It's very hard to measure, you know, because TV, what they do at the moment is they get instant ratings because there are maybe a couple of thousand, but probably a couple of hundred people in the country who have those active set-top boxes that actually give feedback to DSTV. And that's how they measure ratings on the daily. But obviously that is no real indicator because those 1,000 people might all be watching something else, and then you get zero ratings, so you don't know whether you're doing any good or not.
Right.
It's very hard to measure. So when I actually bump into people who say that we watched your show last night and we loved it, I'm like, wow, that's just unbelievable. It's like the best thing.
Well, yeah, you don't get better data than that.
No, I love it, and it made my whole day yesterday. I was skipping around like an idiot because even though I pretend to be all hardcore and, you know, nothing bothers me and I don't get upset and I can handle all of this shit and I'm me, so tough, I'm not.
You're actually human.
Yeah, and then I get very
actually human.
I get so competitive. I was having a conversation about this with my manager yesterday. And, you know, she was saying, you know, because I hate working, for example, on the script for the show. You know this, yeah. The TV show, because we don't have a script on this show. Please, God forbid. Can you imagine if we had a script on this show? It would last 5 seconds. So, I don't. And there was this brilliant podcast by Malcolm Gladwell where he compared the two musicians, Leonard Cohen and Bob Dylan. And he compared them with two artists, Cezanne and Picasso. And this is true for almost any creative pursuit. You are either one or the other. Now, Leonard Cohen and Cezanne would painstakingly go over the same piece of music a million times. They would work on it for like 3 days. They'd take a day's break. They'd clear their head. They'd come back. They'd either tear it all up or start again or fiddle with the chorus or change one note or change one lyric. And it was this painstaking process where Leonard Cohen did Hallelujah so many times, and he redid it so many times, it was always a work in progress to him. He never thought the song should have ever been released. And he was unhappy with almost every version of it, right? This is the kind of painstaking human he was, Leonard Cohen. And in Cezanne's case, there were a number of paintings that he would have in his studio for years. And he would just add a little dot of white, or he'd go and blend some other color, and then he'd leave it for another year, and then he'd come back to it, and he was just never, ever absolutely satisfied with it.
Oh, that nagging feeling.
So frustrating.
Yeah.
But thank God for those people, because I'm not those people. I'm more of the Picasso and Bob Dylan variety. They churn out stuff constantly, and you know, some of it is probably below average, although even a below average Picasso now will cost you millions. And Bob Dylan has just written so much material. He's so prolific. And in among that, you will get those standout hits. And Malcolm Gladwell compares these two ways of doing things, because the Picasso and Bob Dylan method is just keep churning out stuff and some of it will eventually stick. And some is really amazing. And some is average. But there's so much. And like the Picasso guy can never, ever be told to do a Cezanne. And the Bob Dylan guy will never understand the Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
So I was saying, she was saying to me, you know, the problem with you is you're just not painstaking enough. You've got to craft things and you've got to really put, this sounds like the kind of thing that I think a lot of creative people get very frustrated by.
Absolutely. I know for myself, I'm more the Cezanne.
Are you? You're more painstaking.
Definitely,
okay.
Definitely. If there was a scale and Cezanne was naught and the other was, who were we saying? Picasso was 10. I'm like a 3.
Yeah. Oh.
And it hampers my progress and it frustrates other people around me.
Yeah, because you get stuck in perfecting things and it just never, ever gets to the point where you're ready.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there are lots of musicians who will spend years in the studio before they release a song. And thank God there are managers and there are people who get in there and they just say, all right, get out of the studio. It's done. Otherwise, those people would never achieve anything. They'd just sit there perfecting it forever. And anyway, the point is, the reason I bring this up is she said to me last night, sometimes you need to work harder at crafting things. I said to her, no. Because you know what I'm like when I get like that. Because I can switch over to that method. I can be very painstaking about a particular thing, but I become tyrannical and I become impossible to deal with.
Yeah.
I get grumpy. I get dictatorial. I start shouting and screaming, getting like a diva, and it's very unpleasant to be around me when I'm like that. So I said to just, you know what I'm talking about, Sia. You've seen me like that. You know, there'll be
we know a little bit. We see you. We know you.
There'll be one little thing that everybody else is okay with that I'm like, no, that's not, I do not want that. That's a steaming pile of bullshit. And then I just, you can't talk to me. It's a nightmare.
No, Gareth, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, come on, Sia.
No, but you know what?
Full of shit. Poor Sia, he's like, oh, God, I've got to be this guy who takes the Cezanne and the Picasso and turns it into something that works.
Well, I got to take whatever I'm handed give 8 minutes to let it swim it down.
Let me just be clear, because I know some idiot's going to say something on the WhatsApp line just now, like, oh, you're neither a Cezanne nor a Picasso. It's not the quality of the art we're talking about, all right?
No. And Sia, thank you for taking the reins, because I did it for a long time too.
Yeah.
But you know what this reminds me of is going to the Sagrada Familia, which is that beautiful cathedral
Gaudi.
In Barcelona.
Gaudi.
Created by Gaudi, who's the architect and artist behind it. And it's still not finished, okay?
They said it'll finish it in, 60 years' time or something?
Oh, my gosh. Mm.
Yeah. And that's kind of...
And Gaudi's dead, by the way. He never got to see it finished.
It was the groundbreaking of the building. So that when it began to be built was 138 years ago. Mm. It's planned to be completed in 2026. Now, and so obviously he's dead and he's got other people working on his plans for him.
Yeah.
That's how slow I am, that I will die and people will still be finishing my work while I'm
in
the grave. Leanne Sagrada Familia. Oh my God.
And I'm just talking about like drafting a social media post for my client.
Oh no, please.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, like, you do need both kinds of people.
Absolutely.
And some people can be both, but it just, there are unpleasant consequences. As I was saying, for me, if I become more of the detail obsessed person and I get really like, I get consumed by a project, which does happen. When I'm like that, it's just very, very ugly to be around me.
And when I'm told to hurry the fuck up and just get it done, I get so anxious that I need to take medication.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I understand. No, that makes sense. Jesus, we're complicated creatures, huh?
Oh, my goodness.
Humans are so complex. You look at animals. I look at my dog sometimes when I'm feeding him. He's so happy to eat that disgusting food. He's like
just
wagging.
Live a very simple life.
Yeah, he wags his tail, and I think, ugh, to eat that shit, you're excited? You dumb fucking animal.
Shame, man.
And they love the routine. oh, the sun's coming out now. Yay. I'm going to have breakfast. Yeah. Then I'm going to go lie on that sofa. Yeah.
Oh, it's so
just
exciting.
The fact that I'm awake and you're letting me out of the house. Yeah. That is yeah. bouncing
Ooh, I'm
off the
go
wall.
Poop.
Yes.
Ooh, I'm going to go poop.
Yay, this is so exciting. Stupid dogs.
Oh, she's gone inside. I must go back in. Let's go back in. I do. Sometimes I actually long for that life.
No, come on. I've told you in my moment of weakness that I've sometimes been jealous of, like, the homeless person on the side of the road. But then you snap out of that. You know what I mean?
No, I don't have any jealousies, I have to say.
No, man. I'm talking about how...
we have no responsibility.
Yes, that's all it is. Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, try and have that conversation with someone who doesn't have a sense of humor. They're going to accuse you of being privileged and all kinds of shit. And you're like, no, that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, of course.
Fuck. Anyway, speaking of the work people, I see that someone who I've always admired and who I've always loved and really is just one of the most brilliant, brilliant people in cartoon history. In fact, I've always loved his stuff. Gary Larson. I see he's coming back.
My goodness.
He's coming back into the world. Just tell us about this. This is amazing.
Leanne, you look like one of your dogs getting excited to poop there.
I'm so excited about this. Sia, I wanted to test it on you, Sia, because I knew that with the age difference, you probably wouldn't know. But do you remember a cartoon series called The Far Side?
No. I do remember Garfield.
Yeah.
Charlie Brown.
Side, yeah, The Far Side's not even as old as those, I don't think. But I remember I was in varsity when, sort of high school and varsity, when I was enjoying The Far Side by Gary Larson.
Yeah.
And it's this sort of strip cartoonism where it's just like either one frame only or like maybe three at the most.
Yeah.
No, I just Googled it. I do not know.
You don't know. He often uses cows for some reason. He loves cows in his cartoons. And I remember I cracked up the once, and I will never forget this cartoon. It was with three frames, and it was a cow standing on its two back legs like a human being at a front door.
It's already sounding so ridiculous.
It is. It is The Far Side. It's like it's very offbeat. And the cow's standing at a front door and he's ringing the bell. And in the next frame, you see him running off still on only his back legs and hiding behind a bush. And then in the last frame, the man opens the door and he's puzzled because no one's there.
So and he's looking around, yeah.
And the cow's hiding behind the bush giggling.
So wait, is that the punchline?
Yes.
Come on, Sia, you don't find that funny that the cow rang the doorbell and it's teasing the humans?
Come on.
I thought maybe the pun was going to be some cowbell reference or... Okay.
So the last time he even drew a cartoon was in 1995.
Why are you laughing now?
Maybe he only got it now.
No, I'm laughing at the fact that you guys find that funny. That is so weird.
It was very, very...
I think we're being judged.
Left field.
That is so stupid.
So he retired in 1995. And he was only, I think, 44 years old or 49, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He just said, I never want to be in the position where I'm publishing stuff that's tired. And right. So he retired. And now he's come back on his website. He's got a few new posts. It's going to take me a while to get back into because I've looked at these cartoons and I'm like, what? But after 25 years, he's come out of retirement. Great. The whole reason was he stopped drawing completely, speaking of artists. He used to draw traditionally with, you know, pencil and pen or pencil and paper.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And he still, his family would force him to do a Christmas card once a year, a family Christmas card.
They'd force him.
Yeah, because they obviously knew his talent and they were like, how are we going to keep him in the game?
Yeah.
I know, let's make him do a Christmas card. It's compulsory. And one day he found a program on his iPad that he could use to draw on.
Okay.
And he fell in love again with drawing. He said at first it was so weird. Like he was like, these tools are so strange. I can't do this. And because of this program, he has now fallen in love again with drawing.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? Software has changed his life.
He's in his late 60s. And he's getting back into the game. Beautiful. I just think it's such a special thing.
Yeah, that is special. That's spectacular. Yeah. You know, I'm one of those people, I fall in love with the idea of the artist, you know, as being this brilliant creative creature. And artists are just, they're very difficult to fathom for those of us who, you know, for example, I'm not a sculptor, right? And I never will be, and I love sculpture, but I have no talent for it. I just know that.
Yeah.
And I see a sculptor at work, and it just fills me with unbridled joy. Like, it's the best thing ever when I see it.
Yeah, it's amazing. God, and the best thing is that you can watch all sorts of things like this on YouTube now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Whether it's a time-lapse video or someone painstakingly going through it bit by bit.
Have you watched those videos on Instagram even where they show you like someone sketching or doing calligraphy?
Absolutely. I watch all of those. There's even
I'm not the target market.
One of the YouTube channels I follow is the, I think it's called the
Poppin. But as you are.
One of the channels is called, I think, the Poppin Studio, where she's a Belgian.
The Poppin Studio. Yeah, of all, yeah, this is the Poppin Studio.
She's a Belgian woman who makes dolls.
Yeah.
And that in itself is sculpture.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even the makeup stuff that you've spoken about a few times, where that, you know, you got these girls or these guys and they do like prosthetic makeup and special effects makeup. Jeez, that stuff's amazing to watch. Unbelievable.
It brings me joy.
Yeah, it's a funny thing that like now I just love that Gary Larson story because, I mean, here's a guy who obviously, you know, he's tremendously talented and he stopped and everybody thought, oh, well, that's the end of Gary Larson. And look, he's back in the game. Beautiful.
Breath of fresh air.
Yes, old fresh air, but fresh air nonetheless.
Oh, shame, man.
No, I mean,
why do you have to emphasize that?
No, I mean, he's old.
I mean, imagine retiring for 25 years and then saying, yeah, okay, I'll come back.
I'm going to pick that shit up again.
Beautiful. Maybe what he doesn't want to tell us is that he was so bored under lockdown.
Maybe, huh? You don't know.
That all he had to do was start drawing under lockdown.
Hey, that series that I've been watching called, oh shit, I really should do my research. I think it's
Which
called
one?
Home or something. Remember I mentioned it, it's about
the short
film directors who've made these short films during lockdown.
Oh yeah.
I've watched the most recent one and it's like a Zoom call between a really old guy in an old, looks like he's in an old aged home, and he has a nurse who's, the nurse is really hot, by the way, but we'll put that aside.
Hot nurse?
Who helps him set up the camera and the computer and then goes and sits at the back and just...
That sounds like, you know, the start of...
Plays every, on her phone.
That sounds like the start of every porno.
Yeah.
A hot nurse comes and helps you set up the camera and she bends over in front of the camera and she's got no panties on. And
and he's doing that whole thing where he's like, is it working? I can't see her. Can she hear me?
Yeah.
And then another woman comes in.
Why do I feel like there's going to be a tragic end here?
No, I promise I won't let you down.
Carry on.
And she comes on. She's probably 10 or 15 years his junior, but also getting on. And he starts professing his love for her and saying, you know, I never should have. And it's all in Spanish with subtitles.
And she's sitting there?
No, she's like sitting in her lounge. They're Zooming each other.
Oh, okay.
This is not the nurse, Gareth. It's another woman.
Another woman.
Okay, but the nurse is, where's she sitting?
She's sitting in the background of his camera. In the back,
Gareth just
behind
cares about
him.
The hot nurse at this point.
Yeah, exactly. I'm only,
no, forget about the nurse.
What is the hot nurse wearing?
The nurse is wearing a nurse outfit and she's just playing on her phone and ignoring it.
Yeah. Is phone euphemism for something?
And he starts speaking to this woman on the other side and saying, I never should have left you. All I think about is you.
Yeah.
I should have played played. Now you're putting the wrong words in my head. I should have stayed with you and not, you know, gone back to my wife. I love you. You're the only person I ever think of. And he goes into this like quite erotic description of when they were young and they used to have days of having sex, etc.
Leanne, is this what you watch on a casual Wednesday evening?
It just happens to you. You don't have any warning. You press play and you don't know what you're going to get.
Okay.
And it's long and you actually think, shame, man, this guy's like
what's
dying.
Long? Oh, the conversation. Sorry. You said erotic. And then you said, okay.
I've poisoned the well. That's what's happened.
And it gets to where you think it's the end and you think that this woman's going to say, oh my God, I've loved you too all my life. And you're about to break into tears. And she says, what number am I? How many other women have you called?
Oh, Jesus.
And then it starts playing all the other calls where he's done it to exactly the exact call to a whole lot of other women. And this nurse is just like so bored because she keeps on setting up these calls. And he's giving the same rhetoric to about 15 other women.
God.
And they're all saying, you know what? If COVID kills anybody, I hope it kills you.
So it's not romantic at all.
No! He had obviously been this huge womanizer in his past.
Oh, wow.
It was it was so brilliant because it had such a twist in it.
That's lovely.
And let me tell you, this thing is 7 minutes long.
Yeah. But
that's a fabulous plan.
It just pulls you in. Love stuff like that. Great.
That's so a fabulous plan. If you're old and hey, start screwing with people's lives.
Hey, listen, it's time for us to do the headlines. We're fucking around.
Yes.
Okay, let's get straight into the headlines. Five things you need to know this morning. Start with a story from ENCA. It's about the lottery. Oh God. You know, the lottery is such a hive of corruption. For the past 18 years, the National Lotteries Commission has published the names of the organizations that receive grant money. That abruptly stopped last year. The commission says it's to protect beneficiaries. Now, that sounds like a bullshit story right off the bat, right? We've had serious problems and serious complaints from the very same beneficiaries that we've granted money. A simple example, somebody will come from a far-flung village running a project there and say, I'm getting people extorting money from me. They got the information from the public information that you've made. Said the NLC, that's the National Lotteries Commission spokesperson, Divoor Mafela. The Lotteries Commission says the law is on its side and it doesn't need to name beneficiaries, but the news website Ground Up says this leaves major room for corruption. Of course it does.
Mm.
I guarantee you, you know, this whole idea of safety, which you often hear from people too when they complain, someone published something I don't like. It's made me feel unsafe. And now you've got one or two people who may have been extorted by a far-flung village and their village people who find out that they've got lottery money. But the chances of that are minimal. And the number of people actually affected by that, very, very small. Meanwhile, millions and millions and millions get stolen out of the lottery and misappropriated. We know this, right? They've been audited a number of times. They've been found wanting. I don't trust the lottery at all. It's one of the reasons I don't play. Because we think if we win, like one of those big jackpots, 200 million rand, it's going to change our lives. Think about it this way. If they pay out 200 million rand to a winner, imagine how much money they're paying out to the beneficiaries altogether and how much goes missing. Let's be very realistic about that because it's an ongoing problem and it's not getting any better. So the National Lotteries Commission have quite a lot to answer for. And that alleged corruption continues, and we've got to keep an eye on them because they, you know, there's just so many greedy bastards out there who are just looking for a way to steal money off of everybody.
It's almost like they just need to be reminded every now and again that somebody's watching them.
Mm.
Otherwise, they get out of control. Like a toddler in another room. You've got to go, what are you doing?
Yeah. That's exactly right, because a lot of the people who've been appointed by politicians are toddlers mentally. The search for an 8-year-old girl who fell into a canal, as well as a man who tried to rescue her in Belgravia in Cape Town, has been called off due to poor weather conditions.
Oh, man.
I also saw there was this hiker, because it was all over my social media, who went missing on Table Mountain.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, horrible story. They eventually found the body.
Oh, no.
Yeah. A guy apparently tried to help this girl but fell in to a canal. Divers from Rouen Street base were dispatched to the scene. Upon arrival, they were told a man had jumped in after the girl. Members of the Ottery Fire Crew positioned themselves in Clipfontein Road across from the Mary Harding School. And they are searching, but they've had to call it off because the weather is
so bad. Yeah,
because
they're torrential rains, and I know it's coming Gauteng's way, the cold front. But that's definitely why they would have had to have called it off. Jeez.
Well, thanks for stealing my thunder, because the next headline is a cold front is lashing the Western Cape.
I'll just stealing your thunder. Is it time for a weather update?
I'll just throw that shit away. Story number four.
Sorry.
Jesus. Tributes have been pouring in to the entertainment from the entertainment industry for veteran actress Mary Twala. Now, we didn't talk about Mary Twala, but obviously she's also known for being the mother of our friend and compatriot Somizi.
Yes.
And I met Mary once, an absolute gem of a human being. She died at the age of 80. In Johannesburg. She'd been in and out of hospital for a few months. The service was held in Soweto, was not open to the public due to COVID-19 restrictions, but was live streamed. Twala's son, Somizi, said he had now gained the most powerful ancestor.
Now, when I saw that exact quote, I thought it was really amazing. He said, "I've lost my mother, but I've gained a powerful ancestor." And it's at these times where I feel almost envious of people who believe in God and the afterlife and heaven and ancestors. Because for somebody who doesn't, when someone dies, that's it. It's the end. It's like running into a brick wall.
Well, let me give it to you.
Ooh,
I mean, I'll break this down powerful. And make you feel better, because I've got a way of logically circumventing this problem that you have. So you are made up of genes which come from all these ancestors. Okay, and this is why ancestry and the belief in the ancestors is a lot more logical in my mind than the belief in some bearded dude in the sky who cares about you.
Yeah.
You are at least a half of the product of your genes. The other half is the way you live, the way you're raised, the resources you have, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
But in you, in every single cell, is a trace of all of your ancestors. There might be one gene, there might be 25, there might be 1,000. Obviously, your most recent ancestors are your parents. And then it goes back from them to your grandparents, great-grandparents, and so on, all the way back. And there are millions of people who've made you you. But what I like about the idea of your ancestors living on, and this is where I think there may be some innate wisdom in this, is that those genes are still very much alive and active in you. And they continue to give you evolutionary traits which may be advantageous and some which may be not so advantageous, you know, diseases that you carry, stuff you've inherited that makes you weaker. But
diseases, but there's also personality and...
Yeah, and I also think, and again, I've got no basis in evidence for this, but if genes can carry important information on a physical level about how tall you might be, the color of your eyes, the color of your hair... the athletic prowess you may have just genetically, it can also, in my mind, it seems possible and plausible that it may carry memories. And you may carry the genetic memory of your ancestors. And this is where Timothy Maurice and the discussions we've had with him about epigenetics comes into it. Because, you know, there are nations that have a collective memory. You know, the Jews have been traumatized by so much persecution over the years that... there's a guilt, a survivor guilt, which Jews can't really explain to people who don't have it, but it makes perfect sense. And these things are almost like a shared, and remember, there are only like 12 million Jews in the world, hey? So it's likely that they're all related in a much more real sense than when we all say, oh, well, we're all related, because we are, obviously. But it's interesting that when Somizi says that, and when you think about it, Leanne, that there seems to be a basis, a possibility of some evidentiary, satisfying explanation for why that could be true.
Absolutely. it's certainly more plausible, like you say, than believing in God or Jesus or any other deity. And if you think about it, the power of DNA, especially when it comes to something like diseases, you think about how a traumatic situation in your life can actually, months or years down the line, cause you to develop cancer.
Oh yeah,
because your DNA carries these memories of that traumatic experience, and that's just within yourself. So then you think a little further and how it can, how that can occur, where you're talking about where it's your mother or your father's DNA, and the DNA memory in it.
Yes, correct.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Wow.
So Somizi also said thank you to South Africa for loving his mother. I love this. He said, I'd like to thank South Africa for really loving my mother. A lot of people, when their parents pass on, they still have that pain that their parents were not appreciated. I would be lying if I said my mother was not appreciated. And she was.
That's amazing, because, you know, when I remember with my mom when she had her stroke and she was in a coma for many months. And I almost had to justify or explain to people why it was so important, and why she was so important. And I would find myself saying, you know, she's such an important person. She's such an important part of the community. She does so much. She's so active. She's got this project on the go, that project on the go. Mm. Whereas someone like him, that is justified, and it's actually so satisfying and pleasing for him on a level that he doesn't have to say, do you know how great my mom was?
Yeah. No, and also for her to have seen his success, you know, during his life.
Yeah.
That's great.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so obviously rest in peace, Mum Mary Twala. And we are obviously, you know, it's something I didn't mention when she died, and I usually do when we hear the news on the show. But it's been a bit of a crazy couple of days, and also some stuff just goes by the wayside while you're doing this. But obviously, you know, our love to some and to the rest of the family as well. And then finally, the Seoul mayor is, listen to this. This is amazing. The mayor of Seoul, that's not a music title, by the way, like the
or a beer.
King of Rock and Roll. The mayor of Seoul. a former human rights lawyer, the mayor of Seoul, a potential South Korean presidential candidate, died in an apparent suicide a day after he was accused of sexual harassment.
Yeah, they found his body. It was
Park
so weird.
Park Won-soon.
Don't laugh at that. Oh, too late.
Sorry. What can we do? You know,
can we not be mature enough to just pronounce these foreign names?
Park Won-soon, whose body was recovered early Friday on a mountain in the capital, is by far the most dramatic end to the Me Too case that they've ever had in South Korea. A highly patriarchal society where the women's movement has brought down scores of prominent men. If Park does prove to have killed himself, it would be the highest profile South Korean politician to do so since former President Roh Moo-hyun, who jumped off a cliff in 2009 after being questioned over corruption. There were no signs of foul play, according to the news agency that found his body. He was presumed to have taken his own life.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I've said this before, and it doesn't always get the reaction that a lot of people... It doesn't always get a reaction that I expect. They take honor very seriously.
Definitely. I was thinking along the lines of in Japan, where that's where falling on your sword and the whole concept of it comes from.
It gets taken very seriously in that part of the world. You know, there is famously the case of a toy company that was making like little toy cars, and they were using lead paint to paint the cars. And there were about three kids in the world who'd, I don't know, maybe it was more than that, but it wasn't like 1,000 kids who'd been sucking on this paint and got lead poisoning and died or had, you know, very serious illness. And the CEO of this company, he's not the guy who painted the cars. He's not the guy who even knew what the paint was that was being ordered, but he killed himself.
Yeah.
Because he felt so responsible.
That's a little extreme.
What? No, but that's what happens, yeah.
But look at this politician who was accused of corruption, and then he jumped over a cliff. I mean, that's
I like that. I think we should have more politicians and more business leaders who are willing to take ultimate responsibility.
Yeah, I agree with you. Look, there's a line, there's somewhere in between that we can reach here.
Guys. Completely, you don't say.
But I think we in South Africa are in a country where
no one takes
there's denial, there's lying, there's covering up.
I'm just going to say, I would not be upset if politicians in South Africa started to kill themselves once they were caught doing inappropriate things, because trust
me. Or let's start with just resigning and admitting and resigning.
Even asking that of some of our politicians is too much.
Yeah, no, they won't.
You know, they'll fight it all the way to the Constitutional Court, and it's just embarrassing how little responsibility is taken here and how much is taken there. I think it's just worth noting.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, those are your headlines.
Oh, sure, thank goodness.
We covered a lot there.
Holy shit.
Okay, the show's done.
We can go home now. Oh, hang on. Nothing. We are home.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Just shut your bedroom door as you get up. Hey, can we read a listener email?
Which one do you want?
From Kaylee. It's a sweet one.
Oh, this is cute. All right, so here's Kaylee. Mm. Kaylee says, good day, guys. I hope you're doing well. My boyfriend's name is Ryan. He's 26 years old, originally from Cape Town, currently residing in the Boot Fighter territory of Four Ways. Hey, Ryan.
Boots.
He is probably your show's biggest fan. He listens every single day without fail. He's done so for as far back as I can remember. Your show's made him extremely smart. He's interesting, insightful, opinionated, informed. Are you sure you got the right show?
Yeah.
We just laughed at the pronunciation of Park Won-soo.
And if I can just ask, what was his level of smartness before the show?
Scraping the barrel. We are currently in a long-distance relationship, as I'm in Malta working on secondment with a lot of uncertainty around when I can get back to see him again. I've been trying to think of ways to spoil him from afar. I know it would be absolutely amazing if you guys would give him a shout-out on Friday's show for his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to you. All right.
Well, you know what, Kaylee? You may know your boyfriend well, but you obviously don't know me well because I hate doing these things.
That's why I forced it.
All right. Happy birthday for tomorrow, Ryan. Tomorrow's his birthday, the 11th of July. If you could help me score some major girlfriend points by doing this for me, I would feel forever grateful. And in return, I'll donate anything to a charity of your choice.
That's amazing. I love that.
Okay, Kaylee, you're a good person. So here for you and Ryan. Ryan, you better still be in head over heels in love with this girl. She's going to a lot of trouble for you. You know, coming and poking the bear on this show to ask us to do a shout out.
Sorry, there's no poking going on at the moment physically.
Yeah, I'm sorry you two can't
poke. Sorry for that.
Sorry you can't poke each other. But there we go. So, Ryan, happy birthday.
Why doesn't anyone do that for me?
Gareth, what's your charity of choice?
No, she doesn't have to donate. But if you do, obviously, give it to Headway. I mean, those people I love, and they do amazing work. Headway Gauteng, they look after people who have brain injuries. And, you know, we've spoken about them a few times on the show. So
yeah, and I mean, I've been there a few times. And I remember when my mom was in rehab after her stroke, that they recommended that we take her to Headway. To do sort of activities and that sort of thing once a week. Yeah. And when I put it to her, she said, I'm not fucking crocheting or doing any of that shit. It's
a grumpy and I wonder where you got her
grumpy old stroke victim
from.
Man. Yeah.
She's like, I'd rather watch TV and drink wine. Oh, dear. What can I say?
Some people can't be helped. Oh, my God. All right, listen.
He doesn't want to crochet.
What did you say now? I missed that. The signal went out.
Who's here?
No, you.
I didn't say anything.
Yes, you did. Don't deny it. I'll go back and listen to the tapes.
Well, I know what...
The tapes. Okay, Mr. FBI.
I said a lot, but you laughed afterwards, so I thought you'd heard everything.
I missed it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Clearly, I'm not the only one. All right. Lots of other stuff to talk about this morning, and your thoughts and messages and calls on 0797482090. Let's go here quickly. Hey, guys, can you tell Kaylee that the 90s called and they want their shout outs back? What is this? 94.7 Hafelt stereo? That's from Carl.
Oh, Carl, come on, give her a break.
You just shut on the cuteness of it all. Yeah.
Good morning, my good people. I've been waking up so much later in lockdown because I have no commute into the city, so I've been living on podcasts. I'm on a day, off a day, but for some reason I woke up at 5 a.m. Fuck's sakes, at least I get to listen live. Say hi, that's Cindy. Thank you, Cindy.
Oh, nice. Great. Yeah. Thanks for the shout-out, Cindy.
Table Mountain, do you know this, takes more lives than Everest annually.
What?
Mm.
Well, is it because of the crimes related to Table Mountain?
That is from someone called Mbulelo Tinta. You ever heard of him?
Oh, I see. The name rings a bell.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce it?
Mbulelo.
That's it.
Okay, got it.
So thanks, Mbulelo. He says, by the way, it's not honor that they take seriously in Japan and Korea. It's shame. That's actually very interesting. He says it's been studied in psychology for a long time, but it's not honor, it's shame. They actually kill themselves out of shame, and to shame yourself in your family and to do that in those countries is just ultimately impossible to deal with. So
it's shameful.
Shame. Shame, shame, shame. Ring that shame bell, Mfundo. Apparently, listen to this. The temperature guns are pretty scary to some people. My niece freaked out when it was pointed at her mom because in her mind, it looked like a gun.
I tell you what, I had it done to me for the first time a week ago.
Mm.
And I didn't realize it was going to be so close. I thought they did it from far.
You're meant to hold it 30 centimeters away.
Oh, no. Well, this woman did it about three.
It's because it's a laser. What it does is it bounces back with temperature feedback. And it says on most of these devices you should hold it about 20 to 30 centimeters away. If people push it right up against your head, that's not going to be an accurate reading.
Well, look, because I don't really mind it. That's the closest human contact I'm getting these days. So it's like, sure, Mr. Security Guard, man.
What have your temperature readings been like? Because when I go in with someone else, mine's very different to theirs.
Well, Jonathan Witt was on the Burning Platform yesterday, and he said, look, these things are not calibrated often exactly, and it really just is there to make people feel better about what they're doing.
Yeah, like the one in the hardware store I went to, there's no ways they're sitting calibrating that.
No, not a chance.
Yeah, I really don't even pay attention to it. After I've written it down, it's out of my head.
And then they tell me what it is, because I also had it at the vet when I went to buy pet food.
Mm-hmm.
He says, he looks at me and he goes, 36.6. And I'm like, what, is that good or bad?
No, you don't know what to make of it, right?
He's like, it's good. You can go in.
Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of this stuff is so poorly understood that people don't really know what their temperature is meant to be. And it is inaccurate. It's not something that makes perfect sense to a lot of people.
And then I wonder, not to put down anyone, but I wonder what a security guard who just now has happened to have this new duty that he has to do would do if I walked in with a fever of, well, what's technically a fever? More than 38?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so
what are you making there, Leanne?
What's going on?
Are you having a pee during the show? What's going on? What are you making?
I'm pouring water from my water filter jug.
Yeah, I was not going to ignore
it's not
that.
Exciting. I thought you'd have more of an exciting story for us.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I would put vodka in it, but who wants to filter vodka? You want it straight, right?
Of course.
Good point. What would a security guard have to then do if I walked in and I was 39? No.
And remember, they don't even look at it. They make you look at it, and then sometimes you write it down.
Yeah.
There's protocol. He probably knows to say, oh, sorry, you can't enter the shop, and here's a letter recommending where you go. I've got a big quarantine vehicle coming to my local spa today, actually.
Oh, yeah?
You could go and you can get free scanning and testing, and if you are positive, they put you in this big van and take you to hospital.
Oh my God. Oh,
that sounds like a police van.
It's like a big hospital van.
They put you in a van and take you to hospital. That sounds like abduction.
It's a quarantine van.
Oh my God. Keep that away.
Like there and then.
I don't know. It excites me. Like, I want to go and get tested for free.
Excites you?
I know that it won't get that far because there are limited tests available.
Jeez. Okay. Well,
you want them to shove that long thing into your nose.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true. It's horrible.
You've got to do it, though. You've got to check yourself. There are more and more people who are coming out positive. A friend of mine phoned me the other day and said to me he just came up positive. But that doesn't mean that you're going to die of COVID, you know? I keep having to remind myself that we've got so much information now. And a lot of doctors will be the ones to tell you this. But it sounds so obvious, but it's the truth. Like, just because you test positive does not mean you're going to die.
Well, what's really exciting is that...
I think it's pretty exciting that you're not going to die.
I think so. But I think maybe I'll tell you the story after we take a little break. But about testing that's going on in South Africa and when we might expect...
I'm so undisciplined today with time. I'm sorry. Let's get on with it. We've got things to do, people to see, places to go. All right. Yeah, we can't sit here and talk shit all morning. Although that's what we're here to do. Okay. We'll be back with more.
Sorry, not sorry.
With more. CliffCentral.com.